This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A recent study shows that women in eastern North Carolina live in measurably more difficult conditions than men in that region and men and women elsewhere in the state. The study was done by the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Cynthia Hess is the study director at the Institute for Women's Policy Research and joins us now. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you.
I want to talk about this latest report you did, but you did one earlier that looked at the whole state. Tell us what you found in that report.
We found that there have been some areas of significant progress for women in the state, as well as some places where progress for women seems to have slowed or stalled. On the positive side, women's education levels in North Carolina have increased substantially over the past few decades. In 1990, only 16% of women in the state had a bachelor's degree, and by 2010, this number had grown to 27%. During the same time period, the share of women who did not finish high school fell from 30 to just 13%. Along with that improvement in education for women has come a change in the types of jobs that women hold in the state. More women today work in managerial and professional occupations than in the past. The share of women who work in such positions has increased from 26% in 1994 to 40% in 2010. At the same time, the gender wage gap has narrowed in North Carolina. In 1990, women in the state were earning about 72 cents on the dollar compared with men, and in 2011, they earned 80 cents on the dollar compared with men. So in all of those ways, the status of women in North Carolina has improved substantially. But at the same time, we found that there are some places where further improvements are still needed. Even though the gender wage gap has narrowed, women still are earning only 80 cents on the dollar compared with men, and they face higher poverty rates than women in the nation as a whole.
Particularly at Eastern North Carolina. Tell us what you found there.
In Eastern North Carolina, we found that in terms of the status of women is relatively low compared with the state as a whole. Again, there are some signs of progress. Women in the area face a wage gap that's similar to the wage gap in the state as a whole and a bit smaller than the wage gap in the nation. And women's rates of health insurance coverage in Eastern North Carolina are on par with the state as a whole, although keep in mind that still means that about one in five women in the area lacks coverage. But there are some persistent challenges that Eastern Carolina faces that are still issues that need to be addressed. For example, median earnings in the area are considerably lower than in the state and the nation, and educational levels are lower as well. Poverty rates are a little bit higher for women in Eastern North Carolina than for women in the state, and they're considerably higher for women in Eastern North Carolina than for men in the area.
And why is that?
Well, there are a lot of factors that contribute to women's higher poverty rate. One of them is that women do earn less than men, and over the course of their lifetime, that makes a difference. Another issue that contributes to women's poverty is the difficulties that many women have in accessing affordable child care. Women still do typically bear the share of responsibility for caregiving in their homes, whether it's caring for children or caring for aging parents. And child care, even though it is an area where North Carolina has many very strong initiatives, it's still an area that's a challenge for many women. Child care costs are still quite high and difficult for many women, working women, to afford.
I would think that those factors are important anywhere. Why are they significantly, why are women doing significantly worse comparatively in Eastern North Carolina? What's happening there?
We don't know all of what contributes to that. We are just looking at the data. Probably a lot of it has to do with the jobs in which women tend to work. In some areas, the jobs in which women dominate pay a little bit more than in others. Certainly the education levels, I think, of Eastern North Carolina is a factor. If you look at the education levels for women and men in Eastern North Carolina, what you see is that women are doing a little bit better than men, actually, which is not atypical. About 19% of women in Eastern North Carolina have a bachelor's degree or higher, compared with 17% of men. But their levels of education are considerably lower than in the state as a whole. 19% of women in Eastern North Carolina with a bachelor's degree compares with 27% of women in the state overall. So that's a pretty significant difference.
What about health? What does it look like for women in Eastern North Carolina?
The health picture for women, we looked at a number of indicators, and we found that in terms of mortality rates from diabetes and heart disease, on these indicators, women in eastern North Carolina, again, fare a little bit less well than women in the state overall, although there is some variation across the 20 counties that we looked at in eastern Carolina. The same is true for breast cancer also. Only 4 of the 11 counties for which breast cancer mortality rates are available have rates that are below the state average.
What about and mortality? How does that look?
The mortality rates?
Yeah.
For those, yeah, they're a little bit higher in eastern North Carolina than they are for the state overall.
What about access to health care? Is it significantly different in eastern North Carolina than other parts of the state?
It's not actually. It's pretty much on par in eastern North Carolina with the rest of the state as a whole. About 1 in 5 women in eastern North Carolina does not have health care coverage, health care insurance, and that's pretty much the same as the state overall.
How do you think this research might be used?
The research is part of a longstanding project that the Institute for Women's Policy Research has on the status of women in the states, where we've looked at how women fare in different states within the nation, and it's been used in a variety of ways. It is oftentimes used by policymakers to help shape their policy priorities and to help think about what policy changes are needed that would benefit women and families. It's used by those in the philanthropic world seeking to determine investment strategies. It's used by practitioners to think about what support services are needed to help women and families, and so in all these ways and more.
What are some of the recommendations that you would make or that the Institute might make given the data that you have right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there are a number of things that could be done to help improve the status of women. One is to promote quality, flexible working practices that would make it easier for women and men to combine paid work with caregiving. Another is to increase financial supports, especially childcare, for women with low levels of income. We think also expanding career counseling and mentoring for women and girls that would help them give them the support and the encouragement they need to go into fields that might pay a little bit more and might be more likely to generate income that would help them sustain themselves and their families when needed would be an important development as well.
Is there an added value to looking at particular regions? You might find disparities, but it does sound like many of the indicators that you find in places like eastern North Carolina are the same in other places in the state and around the country. So are we looking at a region that is by itself generally more impoverished than other parts of the state? In other words, do the solutions change? Is there anything particular to a region that might indicate a different kind of solution or a different kind of approach?
Mm-hmm. I think there is, and I think that it is helpful to be able to see the differences that are oftentimes hidden behind state averages. We see pretty stark differences in North Carolina, for example, between the status of women in the metropolitan areas and the status of women in the more rural parts of the state. And those differences in status of women can be important for those who are seeking to think about how they might shape their services to, you know, attend to the particular needs of women. So, for example, in rural areas, you might have more difficulties access with transportation and getting to the services that are there, which is, might be less of an issue in metropolitan areas. So thinking through, you know, not just what are the differences in the numbers, but why are those numbers so different in these areas, I think is an important step.
Have you looked at other regions in the state or do you plan to?
Yeah, we actually looked at 13 other regions within the state, and so we have produced separate briefing papers on each of them describing the status of women in each of those areas.
And what's it like in western North Carolina? Because that's if we look at areas of disparity, that's the other place in the state we think of.
Yes, and it is. There are some similarities as well as some differences between Eastern Carolina and Western Carolina. There are differences in the demographic makeup of the population, but some of the ways in which they are similar is that they do tend to have higher poverty rates and lower levels of education than the state overall.
All right. Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Cynthia Hess is study director at the Institute for Women's Policy Research. You can get more information about that study if you visit our website, stateofthings.org. And you're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Coming up, State School Superintendent June Atkinson. Stay with us.